Well, happy Easter.
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
So, you know, I told my wife, Pastor Shelby, I told her yesterday, I'm just going to tell on me, okay? I told her, you know, I kind of don't like these special, quote, holiday services. I said, because then I have to break the train of thought of where we are and get on something else, you know, that's suitable to the holiday. So I was kind of complaining about that, you know. And a little later on, I asked the Lord, so what do you want to say tomorrow? You know, sometimes it's good to ask him. And, you know, he only gave me part of a verse. But that's just kind of how he is, you know. He gives you enough to get you to latch on, and then he'll give you the rest of it when you latch on. So we're going to talk about some things today that came straight from him. Not that other days we talk about things that don't come from him, but I just letting you know that I hope you came to receive today, because what he wants to tell you today, and I don't say this by any means any kind of cliche, if you'll latch on to it, it'll set you free. And quite honestly, it'll reveal parts of our man thinking that suck. Can I say that on recording? What do you call that? Sensor, yeah. So, basically we're going to talk about this, and this is what he told me initially. He only spoke the verse to talk about bringing many sons into glory. And the reason I changed the word sons to mature ones is because that's literally what it says in the original language. I don't want you going on here, why did you just preach to the dudes for? I'm talking to everybody, because the word sons there literally is the one, it's the word weos in the Greek. It means mature ones. It literally means someone who takes over the father's business. So it doesn't really have to do with male, female. It has to do with being mature. And we all want to be mature, right? How many know it's better to be mature than to try to act like you are? I just want to be mature. And if we have that mindset and we have that teachability, then what we'll find that Holy Spirit, He's so awesome. He loves to set us free from thinking of men. So if you would, I'm going to read from Colossians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. And you know, we're not going to go real long today, but he wants you to get something, because it's crucial for the rest of your life. Everybody say this, I have a choice.
I have a choice.
Say it again.
I have a choice.
So that means you have a choice to receive what he wants to give you today or not.
Yeah, I receive.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, speaking of the resurrection, speaking of Jesus, it says this, since he is the beginning and the firstborn heir in resurrection. Again, we're reading from the Passion Translation. Your translation may read slightly different, but overall the basic same thing. He must always be embraced as the most exalted one, holding first place in everything. Everybody say first place.
First place.
Now, I want to show you an aspect of first place that maybe your mind hasn't gone to because mine didn't. How many know a lot of times, just because of our humanness, we read verses, and whether we realize it or not, we kind of fold into those verses the mindsets that come along with having to serve. And we'll read into verses things along with that filter, and it changes how we come away with what it's saying. It says he's the beginning. How many know that's talking about him before he came into the earth as a man? Right? He created all things. All things were created by him and for him. There's nothing that exists that wasn't created by him. But then it goes on to say, and, everybody say and. The firstborn heir in resurrection. Now that's talking about, obviously, when he came into the earth as a man. Everybody say a man. Amen. So this is dealing with both aspects of him now. He is the beginning and he is the firstborn heir in resurrection. You know, we've mentioned this before in days gone by, that he basically, when he was resurrected, he unified both title belts. He was the eternal one before he showed up in the planet. Then when he came and took on the form of a man, became a human being, and then he was resurrected from the dead, and he stands at the right hand of the Father. Now he has both title belts, and they are unified. For all you wrestling or boxing fanatics. He must always be embraced as the most exalted one, and he holds first place in everything. You're going to find out just how first place he holds with you. Because after all, you have a choice. Everybody say that, I have a choice. Verse 19 says, God is satisfied to have all of his fullness dwelling in Christ. So there's the unification of the title. God is satisfied to have all of his fullness dwelling in Christ. Now, is there any fullness that Father left out?
No.
Notice it says he's satisfied to have. He didn't begrudgingly do it. If I have to. He's well satisfied to have all of his fullness. There is none that he left out dwelling in Christ. In verse 20, what's the first word? So the word and connects two things together, right? I'm not really good at English. I didn't do too well, and I didn't bomb out of it in school, but I do know that and is a connecting word, right? So it connects what was just said with what he's getting ready to say. He was satisfied to have all of his fullness dwelling in Christ, and by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and everything in earth is, what's the next words?
Restored.
Brought back to himself. You might as well connect this part of the verse to the first part. So he basically, through the blood of the cross, it was satisfied Father to bring everything back to the fullness of dwelling in Christ. Right? Back to its original intent and restored. Everybody say, I've been restored. Notice this in the Mir translation. He is the principal rank of authority who leads the triumphant procession of our new birth out of the region of the dead. Aren't you glad you don't live in the region of the dead? Sounds like a movie. Or if you wanted to milk a bad thing, you'd make it into a TV series. Oh, wait, they have. His preeminent rank. What's the next three words? All together now. One, two, three. Oh, yes. His preeminent rank is beyond threat. Everybody say it's beyond threat. You know, I thought about this. All over the world, there are people that are objecting to his rank. It didn't matter how much you thrash around, throw yourself in the ground. Reminded me of a tantrum a little kid throws in a store. You can scream, yell, throw dirt in the air. You can do all you want to. His rank is still beyond threat. When you're done and tired, he's still there. And he's still sitting there, and he'll still be there. Because he's been given, his rank of authority is his preeminent rank of beyond threat. I love that. Verse 19, the full measure of everything God has in mind for man indwells him. He initiated the reconciliation of all things to himself through the blood of the cross. God restored the original harmony. Say, I've been restored. So now we're going to jump over to Hebrews chapter 1. This is the New American Standard Version. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 says this along the same lines. In these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Verse 3 says, and he is the radiance of his glory. He, Jesus, is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. When he has made purification, when he had made purifications of sins. Now, is that present? Is that past tense, present tense, or future tense? Past tense, once and for all. Done deal. Right? When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. How many, when you're sitting down, you're done? But he made purification of sins. There's another scripture, there's another verse in this letter we call Hebrews that says that when he comes back, that's not even going to be on his mind. That kind of blows the whole religious world away. Did you know that when he comes back, sin's not even going to be on his mind? If you'll read Hebrews, you'll find it's in there. Because he took care of the purification for sins once and for all. Now let's get to verse 4. This is where the Spirit of the Lord wants to speak to you. I mean, not that he wasn't before, but... Verse 4, having become as much better than the angels, he's inherited a more excellent name than they. Now here it is, verse 5. Sorry, it's verse 5. It's such a special verse, I changed screens. Notice what he says there in verse 5. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son? Today I have begotten you. And again, I will be a father to him and he shall be a son to me. Now, notice he says, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Now let's take the focus off of Jesus. Because remember what John said in 1 John, we've said it in weeks gone by. The new environment that you live in as a result of the resurrection is whatever is true in him is true in you. Right? Remember that verse in 1 John? Whatever is true in the Son is true in you. So when he's speaking to the Son here, he's also speaking to you. Because the word Son there is weos, and it means mature one. Now watch this. You need to take this as he's speaking to you, because he is right this moment. You are my mature one. Today I've begotten you. I want you to notice, and this is what the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me when I read this. He said, did you notice that it said, I've begotten you? Your challenges didn't begot you. Your life history didn't begot you. Your circumstance didn't begot you. And your naturally developed deficiencies that didn't begot you. I begot you. I am your Father. It's like that movie in Star Wars. That scene. I am your Father. Your circumstances, where you've come to in your life at this very moment, they have nothing to do with you. They are not your Father. The one that's allowed to speak into your life. Father says, I have begotten you. Now everybody say this, I have a choice. One more time. I have a choice. We are the ones who have to choose to stop being fathered by the familiar. I'm just going to let that sink in. The Spirit of the Lord is telling you, Father is your Father. Your circumstances are not your Father. Your life history is not your Father. The deficiencies that you've naturally developed, they are not your Father. He is your Father. But you still have to make a choice to not allow yourself to be fathered by the familiar. Or fathered by our failures. Read that screen together. One, two, three. We have to choose to stop being fathered by the familiar. Choose to stop being fathered by our failures. Notice what he said in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. He said, we're the ones... Well, as soon as it comes on the screen. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention. Everybody say much closer. Much, much, much closer. Attention to what we've heard so that we do not drift away from it. You're not a drifter. I used to think that would be cool when I was a kid. But that was me making room for my life. Because I was always alone. But he didn't create me to be a loner or a drifter. I told my wife one time, I said, aren't you glad that Jesus expanded my, what's the word? My dreams. I used to always think it'd be cool just to have a 70s van and just, you know, carpet all the sides and get the big old mag wheels and, you know, one of those conversion vans and just live in the van. You gotta have a cool stereo system in it though, man, because if you turned it on and the neighbors five houses down didn't hear it, it wasn't big enough. That was my dreams as a kid. You know, so you can thank Jesus for expanding. So, contrary to what life has told you, you are not who you are right this moment. Your life, your circumstances, everything else up to this moment is not the one who's fathered you. He says, I have begotten you, you belong to me. But you have to make a choice. It's one of those, draw a line in the sand and step over it and never look back. It's kind of like that story of Lot and his wife. Life didn't go well for her because she had sentiments behind her that she thought were more valuable. And then she wanted to hook up with those things and that didn't end well for her. I'll submit this to you, that Father sees the sentiments that are in your heart that you like to keep cozy and nearby. But he says, they didn't father you, I did. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 says, for this reason we must pay closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. Verse 9 says this, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 says, but we do see him, speaking of Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, or literally in the Hebrew it says God Himself. Name of Jesus, because of the sufferings of death, crowned with glory. That's Psalms 8, by the way, what I quoted before. He was, through the suffering of death, He was crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God, He might taste death for everyone. I mean, you know, it took the power of God for Him to go through what He did. But I will submit this to you. He went through what He did so you wouldn't have to go through it and have it latch on to you. The Word says that He suffered because of the suffering of death, He was crowned with glory and honor. How many know death is not just cessation of existence? Right? How many know death can be just separation from Him? Or let's put it this way, separation from what He's saying to you. Or let's put it this way, separation of what He's saying about you. All of those things are the suffering of death. This verse says that Jesus did that so that you would never again have to. Isaiah said this, that it was the interruption of our peace that He took upon Himself so that you would never have to have an interruption of peace. But admittedly, we gravitate to the things that are most familiar, even though they're not good. But He's told you that you have a choice, and you just said it out of your own mouth at least 5 times, that you have a choice. So He wants to ask you today if you'll make that choice and stop allowing the familiar and the failures of your life and your circumstances and the deficiencies that have developed naturally, all that mess that's tried to father you. He's asking you if you'll draw a line, step away from it and say no. He's my Father. He's begotten me. He's my Father and I'm His mature one. Notice in verse 10, it says this. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. It says, for it was fitting for Him for whom all are all things. For whom are all things. Or say for Him. And through Him are all things. So for Him are all things and through Him are all things. In bringing many sons to glory, there's what He told me. This is what He wanted to talk about. To perfect the author of our salvation through suffering or external pressures, persecution. He did all that. He went through all He went through. We call it the Passion of the Christ. Was raised from the dead. He did all that because it's all for Him and it all comes through Him. And the object was, from the very beginning, was to bring many, many mature ones. Say, I'm one of the many. Mature ones into glory. Now, notice this in the Passion Translations, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. I want this verse to sink in and not just be a part of your theological Rolodex. But really let this sink in because He wants you to get a thought from the throne room of God. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 11 says this, both He who sanctifies, who's that? Jesus. And those who are sanctified are all from one Father. For which reason He, Father, Son, doesn't matter, He is not ashamed. So this verse is literally telling you that you and Jesus, the one that was from the beginning, the one whose rank is unthreatened, are from the same Father. Everybody say, I'm from the same Father. Did you notice that in that environment there's zero shame? See that? Isn't it interesting that we always talk about, well, you guys don't, but you know somebody. That when they talk about God and them, they talk about God like God is somehow disappointed and ashamed because they're just, quote, not living up to what they have in their mind. You ever had conversations with people like that? What gospel are you reading? Maybe that's the point. They're really not reading the gospel. This gospel says that you, the one who sanctifies and the one who is sanctified, which is you, all come from the same Father, and there is no shame in this in that environment. There's no shame. They say there's no shame. Now, look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. Let's read it together. Ready? Read. For our God is a consuming fire. Let's read it again. For our God is a consuming fire. You ready for a throne room thought? Do you remember the verse that talks about, it's in the letter that Peter wrote. It says, be holy as I'm holy. Some translations say, become holy as I'm holy. How many remember that verse or something close to that? Or I remember there's a word holy somewhere in the Bible. Do you know, this is so amazing to me, I just want to fall on the floor. Your natural man reads those verses and your natural man immediately runs those verses through the filter. Did you get my good side? Runs those verses through a filter and you translate those verses to mean I have to reach a certain level. Let me tell you what those verses mean from where Jesus is sitting. Remember what we started off in Hebrews, that he made a purification for sins once and for all. So now he's sitting. And when he comes back, that isn't even on his mind. If our Father is an all-consuming fire, and he tells us to be holy or become holy as he is holy, and other places in your Bible, I believe it's even brought up in the letter that Peter wrote, that fire is a purifier, right? How can we always associate fire as I'm going to roast? If fire is a purifier, so what is he saying? If our God is a consuming fire, look at this verse. You're never going to see this verse ever again the same way. No, this is not an alien. This is talking about Jesus in his resurrected state right now. Revelation 1 verse 14. It says, his head and his hair were white like wool. This is what John saw. Like snow, and his eyes were like a what? Because God is a... And he saw his eyes as... You remember in Ephesians, what does it say about him? It says that he speaks over you things that cause him to see you without spot or blemish. That before the foundation of the world, your Father, the one who begot you, made a choice. If we're going to talk about the sovereignty of God, let's talk about that. Before the foundation of the world, before there ever was a human being, he made the choice sovereignly without any kind of influence from anybody else, not based on anybody else's anything, and said, I choose to see human beings in my presence without flaws, holy and unblemished. So maybe the issue of the fire of God and the holiness of God, maybe it's more of an issue of if the Father is an all-consuming fire, and when John saw Jesus, he said his eyes were like flames of fire. Maybe because Jesus is looking at you. And the closer you get to him, he's eradicating everything out of you that did not come from him. That's why he wants you to know this morning, folks, the resurrection was not just an event in history. The resurrection puts you into a place of being restored back to my original intent. But you have to make a choice. I did a series years and years ago called Who's Your Daddy? You got to make a choice who your daddy is. I don't care that your past and all the things that are familiar to you are comfortable. It doesn't mean you're supposed to stay there. Because Father literally is an all-consuming fire, and he's asking you right now to make a choice, draw the line, step away from those things, and move towards him so that that consuming fire can literally eradicate every trace of anything out of you, out of your heart, out of your mind, out of your emotions that does not originate from his fathering. Because that is who you really are. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to play a music video. I'm going to get out of your way here, but I'm going to play a music video, and I want everybody to basically line up on these steps. I don't care if you get on your knees, whatever you need to do for you. But I want you to take a step across that line. And this resurrection day won't be like any other resurrection day because you've made a choice that you're going to step into that consuming fire. And you're going to allow the Father to minister to your heart and burn out all of those things, all of those voices, all of that garbage that didn't come from his fathering. And you're going to realize, because you're going to ask him, show me who I really am. Everybody stand up. And as you're coming forward, I'm just going to read this verse, Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. In the Passion Translation, it says this, it says, there's a divine mystery, a secret surprise that has been concealed from the world for generations, but now it's been revealed. Unfolded, manifested for every holy believer to experience, living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. I'll submit this to you that his consuming fire wants to eradicate everything out of you. It didn't come from his fathering. Because he's trying to bring many sons into glory. Because that's the reason Jesus has paid the price. And when you do that, what you'll realize is that there is the mystery of Christ embedded within you is you have a heavenly treasure chest to draw from. It's always been there. So go ahead, come forward and you want to start that video? Praise the name of the Lord. We need to never again take for granted the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Remember when Jesus appeared to the folks in the garden after the resurrection, he said, I'm going to my Father, oh, and yours. His glory is His consuming fire. And Jesus paid the price for you to wear it. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you. Jesus, thank you for buying us back. Thank you for buying us back. Thank you for bringing us out of darkness. Placing us into your kingdom. Thank you for giving us your Spirit. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Everybody say this, I make this choice to draw closer to Jesus. To draw closer to His gaze. And allow that all-consuming fire to set me free. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, go have an awesome, awesome rest of the day. And when you think about it, let this that the Spirit of God brought to your attention today remind you again. And make his presence be the most comfortable, familiar place for you, not things of the past. Amen? Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.